Good morning, Destiny Church. How we doing? Look at your neighbor and say, wow! No, I'm sorry. I like that song. That song gets us. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe, and this is my beautiful bride,
Jen.
You may recognize us from Coffee Time with Joe and Jen. Every once in a while, we like to put something on Facebook. But we are on staff here at Destiny Church. We have loved serving with Pastor Gene and along with the other rest of the staff. We first want to honor Pastor Gene and Pastor Mel for giving us an opportunity to kind of close out this sermon series of faith. So thank you guys for this opportunity. We really, really greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hey, if you don't know us, we're a little silly, which is good. You got to be silly in a world like today. And so we like to bring fresh perspective and different viewpoints and different things like that. But one of the things that we wanted to kind of share with you this morning as we close out this series on Now Faith is practical faith, meaning using everyday, normal, practical things that you can do to bolster your faith, to strengthen your faith, to maybe sometimes even test your faith. If you know Jen and I, we like patterns, we like rhythms, we like habits. Mine is because if I don't have a list or a pattern, I'll forget it because I'll be like, whoa, where did it go? Hey, it's Tuesday, you know, well, that kind of thing.
If there's not a system, we'll create it.
Right. And Jen likes to have hers because she's very structured.
I'm a little competitive. I could even, if I don't have anybody to compete with, it's fine. I can compete with myself.
She competes with herself.
I like to do
often.
As many things as I can, but we like systems and patterns. And if it's not practical, we will make it practical. We will break it down, figure it out, so that we can live that out in our lives.
So when we're talking about practical faith, we're basically today we want to share with you just a couple of things that have worked for us that we kind of see in some of these scriptures that allows us to have a continual pattern or a continual rhythm or like a daily habit that allows us to strengthen our faith. But before we get started here, I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning about Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of people call this the faith chapter. The Apostle Paul goes through and he lists a group of men and women who have basically been patriarchs of our faith. These are people who, and he just goes through and explains, you know, Abraham's faith was because of this, and Cain's and Abel, and I mean, the whole list. I would encourage you to please go and read that whole chapter. We're not going to get through the whole chapter today, but we wanted to kind of talk to you about, you know, what is faith? You know, let's kind of define it. And there's no better scripture, in my opinion, that defines what faith is than Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we cannot see. Okay. Every one of us had a measure of faith this morning. When we sat down in that chair that you're sitting in this morning, okay, you had a confidence that it would hold you up, right? Even though you did not see the manufacturing process of putting that chair together. In fact, when we got the new chairs, we actually had to sit here and put them all together because they came together. So you got a lot of faith in us too. But we had this measure of faith that you had this morning when you were sitting in your chair. And I got to thinking, I got to asking God, why is it that I can go through and I can just, without even thinking, sit in a chair and think that it's going to hold me, but yet sometimes when I have to have some faith about what God is going to do for me, I have to think to myself, wow, well, is he really going to do it? And I'm going to be honest with you, I think he's better than some chair manufacturer, right? So the fact that we have confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what you can't see. Another translation says that the word confidence there is another word that means like foundation, meaning everything that we believe on is built on a foundation of faith and what faith is, and that is the assurance of what we can't see and the hope of what we can hope for. So we're going to talk to you about three things this morning that we feel like these three things can help your faith be built up in your life. Our faith is tested on a daily, some of our faiths are tested by the minute, depending on how many kids we have. But our faith is tested every day. And so we feel like this is a good rhythm that we can do every day that helps test our faith. But the practical thing about it would be speaking over ourselves, speaking our faith not just our belief system and who God is, but speaking faith and the promises of God, then visually seeing those, whether it be in the human realm or in the spiritual realm, and then being still and resting in the fact that God's got it. Okay, and it's just going to boil down to those three things. So honestly, this morning, Jen's going to talk to you a little bit about speaking and how that what that looks like and how that works. So go ahead.
So through this the series, God's really been stirring. I don't know about you, but my faith has been stirred. My want to go deeper and to understand faith more. And it comes down to one of it is speaking. We need to speak as if it is, even if it isn't. A lot of things in our lives, before it comes to pass, we can see it and speak it out. The words that God keeps giving me and speaking is declaring and decreeing. There's been times in our lives, even in my life, or that I kind of give those procedural requests of God, that kind of timid request. God said, that time is gone. It is now a time of declaring and decreeing. Speaking is not just for ourselves. I do want to kind of talk about how we speak to ourselves, but we need to understand that we're always modeling for someone how we speak. Whether it's the children in your home, or it's your coworker, your spouse, someone, God always has somebody that we're bringing along behind us, that's following us in faith, and we speak for them. When I declare and I decree over our home, it is for our marriage, our finances, our children. But I will not give a timid request. Pastor Gene, I don't know how many sermons ago, but he, on the screen, it was a kitten looking into a reflection and seeing a lion. That carries with me always. Because I want to have a speech, a speaking of that lion. I want to speak that out. In Matthew 17:20, it's Jesus talking, and he says, because you have so little faith. Well, I'm going to stop there and say, I hope Jesus never says that over me. Let me not be someone that can be said about. He says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So there's a couple things there. Think how small that mustard seed is, but how big that mountain is. Let's take a moment and acknowledge that we have mountains in our lives. We have things that stand in our way. We have barriers. But God says, you have the power to move that. So in studying this, I'm reading a book called Passover Prophecies, and just how that last Passover we had that came in March 2020, and how it kind of it tilted and changed and started a new decade in terms of the Passover, how many Passovers we've had. And so this was actually in March. It was 5,780 Passovers. But the focus there in speaking is 80. And in Hebrew, that is the letter pay. So stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Pay represents this decade, this 80, is the mouth or voice. It is a time for us to start having a voice. We are speaking out for ourselves. We are speaking out for those around us. We are speaking out for our children. I don't know what my kids will face in the coming times, but I will tell you, the enemy is going to hear my voice. He's going to hear my roar, and I'm going to use my mouth to call out that voice and speak it out. So I said I'm going to talk about how we speak to ourselves. When you're using that voice, the thing that's interesting is how quickly we are to discredit ourselves, discount ourselves. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and we have a 12-year-old daughter, and I often say to her, if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, why do you say it to yourself? Daily, we discredit what God says we are. If there's nothing else that we can speak, I am a child of the Most High God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have to have that voice in the darkness. No matter what our situation, no matter the mountain, the barrier, no matter what comes, we have to have that voice. And sometimes I think the enemy just kind of steps back, crosses his arms. Because, you know, the enemy is creating arrows and a weapon against us. But sometimes he doesn't even have to do anything. He waits for us to discredit ourselves. Oh, I failed. I'm not good. I can't do that. So often we're looking to our left and to our right until looking to where our help comes from. I'm going to see myself as God sees me. But I'm going to speak into my life. I am not a failure. Failure just might be a moment in my life. How are you using your voice? The question I have that God's asking me and I'm asking you is, what are you binding and loosing in your daily time with God? Pastor Gene has done an amazing job in this series of unpacking our power and our authority, and then talking about what is bound in heaven is bound on earth, what is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. And I want to take that authority, that power, and I want to speak it. I will not be silent in this season of wherever we're going. The enemy might come, but I'm going to use my voice.
There's something great about the fact, like, Jen, she does a very good job of speaking over our family and speaking over our marriage and doing things like that. And I can be the first person to attest to you that when she's doing that, she is basically speaking truth that when I hear it, even though I might be in another room or I might be doing something else, and I hear her speaking those words, there's a level of like, yeah, get it, girl. You know what I'm saying? There's this level of, you tell that devil who's going, and it's encouraging me just as much as it's encouraging her. The Bible tells us the story about the tongue being like the rudder of a ship. And with our mouth, how much power that we have, the power of life and death with our tongue. And it's not this, we're not telling you to go out and say, I declare a 2020 Silverado my driveway. No, that's not how this works. I want to do that, but that may not how it works. We're talking about speaking the promises of God over our lives. Yeah. And not only is that an encouragement, like you said, to ourselves, but it's also the encouragement to those who are hearing us. And man, could you imagine what the demons are doing whenever you're saying that, and how they're just shivering? They're like, this person knows what they're talking about, and they know who they are in Christ, and they're speaking this out. It's just amazing. So that's the first thing is just, we're going to talk about speaking God's promises over them. The second part of it is seeing God's promises. And I don't find it any, it's not coincidental at all. But back in Hebrews, verse 11, when the Apostle Paul's telling us all about this faith stuff, he immediately starts this off by our faith. It says, this is verse 3, our faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. So he automatically says right there, by God's spoken word, that's how all of this came into motion. And he's encouraging us that through that spoken word, our spoken word, when we're speaking what God is saying, we have that same kind of power. We have that ability to go in and say that and to see those things. In fact, the next thing that we talked about too is Cain and Abel. He was talking about their faith and you know, how Abel brought an offering that was better than Cain did. And it goes through and it even says that even though Abel is dead, his faith still speaks because of where he was at and how he followed God. And then the other part here is we're talking about, if you skip a couple chapters or a couple verses down, Noah. Okay, Noah was told to build an ark. Okay, so Noah had no clue what an ark looked like, but he saw what God was doing. He saw the fact that, listen, he saw the fact that God showed him this vision of what an ark was going to look like and said, you need to build it this way, and he started building it. Even back in verse 3, we by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And so he's showing us that when we start to use God's vision in our life, not what we physically see with our eyes, but when we start to look and see how God sees us, or when we start to see through God's eyes at our circumstances, we start to understand that's when our faith gets grown. That's how we get to grow our faith in that situation too. So, and even over in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that we should fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So when we're looking at this, we're taking this idea of we've just spoken into existence these promises that God has given us. We're speaking God's word over our life. We're speaking God's promises. Then we take and we shift our mind's eye into visualizing, into seeing how God sees us. I no longer see myself as the wretched person I am, but I see myself as the chosen person. As a chosen child of God, I see myself redeemed and forgiven. I see myself endued with power. Just like the kitten that you said, just like the kitten saw in the reflection a mighty lion, that's what we need to do. We need to be able to say, this is who God sees me as, so I'm going to see myself as this too. And then we're also talking about the things that may be coming against us, whether it's a financial burden or a health issue or those kinds of things. We need to start to visually see with our mind's eyes how God sees that problem in our life. God doesn't see things the same thing that the same way that we do. His eyesight is way different than our sight. So whenever we look at it and we see, man, there's no way out. How are we going to make this bill this week? How are we going? How is that person in my life going to change their behaviors? How's that going to happen? Then we start to see see through God's eyes. That's when we can say, okay, God, you've got a plan. I see it now. I see how you're working this out. One of the things that I like to also do is I like to be remembered about what I've seen in the past tense. So a lot of times in the Bible, they talk about where they built altars or they laid reminders for themselves where God came through in a situation. Well, sometimes I have to do the same thing. When I'm facing a struggle and I don't really see the end or I don't see the answer right up in front of me, I need to be able to go back and say, I remember the time when I got pulled over because I was driving a car with expired license plate. It'd been expired by 3 months. Just so happened to be my wife's car. I was driving it that day. We're not going to get into that. I had never quit a job in my life without having another job. And just things happen. I'd quit my job. I'm driving to an interview. And I get pulled over. And I'm like, "What? I wasn't speeding. Why am I pulled over?" The officer comes up to the door and he's like, "You know why I pulled you over?" And I said, "Honestly, officer, I do not." And he goes, "Your license plates are expired." And I said, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, by 3 months." And I'm like, "Oh, this is my wife's car." I'm like, "Why couldn't you pull the hoe over yesterday? It's ridiculous. She's the one driving the car, not me." So I said, "Fine, okay, whatever." And I said, "Is it okay if I just stay here for a moment?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine." So he leaves, and I just sit there. I roll my window up, and God and I had a nice conversation. And the conversation was a very one-sided because I felt like I was doing all the talking. And I just said, "God, Why? Why? Here's a ticket. I don't know where this is coming from. I just quit my job. I'm in between the stuff, blah, blah, blah. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I went on to the interview, wound up not getting that job, which was fine. But 3 days later, which I thought was interesting, 3 days later, I opened the mailbox, and in the check, in a mailbox with a check for the exact same amount of money that my ticket was. And I just had to laugh because I'm like, okay, I know that some of you may think that was coincidental, but I don't think it was coincidental at all, because I feel like God was trying to show me, Joe, you need to see things the way I see things. It may look a little bleak for you right now, but if you'll wait for just a minute and let me get my stuff, let me get it to you. It's on its way. Well, I thought it was interesting too, because the check in the mail was mailed like months before it got to us. So it was just all God's timing. It all had to work out. So there's times when I have to be remembered about God's faithfulness, and I can remember, I can see that's how he did it. So when I'm in a crisis now, I have to take myself and say, listen, God, I'm going to speak over my crisis. I'm going to say, this is the promise you gave me. Then I'm going to visually see him working it out. Yeah. However he wants to work it out. I like to pretend sometimes because I've got a really good imagination. So I like to pretend like God's going to do it this one way. But I know that it's not going to have to be that way. It can be however he wants to do it. But it still encourages me that I know he's working. He's moving. And I can see him moving. And so the second part is basically just seeing it. But one of the things that I thought was interesting about all of these people in chapter 11 of Hebrews, every one of them had an opportunity to speak their faith out, whether it was they were speaking to a group of people and they say, God will do this. Or they're saying, God told me to build a boat. Or God told me to give this offering and you gave a different offering. So they had moments in their life where they were speaking God's promise. They had moments in their lives where they had to be reminded and they had to visually see the end product. But they also had moments in their life where they had to wait and they had to be still. And just going to talk about what stillness looks like.
So I truly believe that there is an attack on our time. You'll notice it always seems to be rapid, like our time and what we're going here, going to here, going. But last spring, there was a halt, and there was a moment where we all kind of just had to halt a little bit and be still. I don't know about your family, but we started doing things that we just hadn't had time for, going on walks and taking bike rides and playing games, but there was a stillness. And God is calling us back and into a season of stillness. I can remember a time when I was in fifth grade and I was going to a Christian school and we had service every single day. And there was this one moment in worship where I had this moment with God where I could see myself at his feet. And if you've ever had this visual moment where, or you've ever had this moment with God, you're just changed. And so I saw myself at his feet. And then I saw myself in his lap, resting against him. And when we get still, and there's a constance. If you know us, we are busy people. We are excited people. We are very fast. Like that's just the pace that our life is. But there's something that rests in us, a divine rest, a godly rest, a peace. That God says, my child, I'm drawing you up and you're with me. You know, Jesus died for our sins and I'm so thankful for that forgiveness. But he also gave us access to God. Before that point, we didn't have access. We couldn't go to the throne. I never want to take for granted the access I have to my Heavenly Father. No matter what I'm going through, I want to be able to be still with him. And a rest that is physical, emotional, spiritual, my heart, my life, everything stops. So in Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." But what's interesting about that is, be still and know. It doesn't say know and then be still. There's something about a stillness with our Father that brings revelation and knowledge. What we couldn't have unless we were still in His presence. And I want that stillness in my heart. And then in Matthew 26:36, you know, of all the people that walked the earth that didn't need to have stillness and come away and pray, you'd think it'd be Jesus. But what we see here is then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He was wholeheartedly God, all God, and yet He recognized, before I go do something hard, the hardest thing I've ever been asked to do, I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to go be still. We need to do as Jesus is doing here, and being still with our Father, and praying in that stillness.
So our encouragement for you this morning is this. We want to encourage you to have some daily practices, some daily rhythms, or a habit of some form, something that allows you to try to build our now faith, to build our faith every day. And this morning, Jen woke up, and she's really good at this. She's really good at being consistent with a morning devotional or some kind of thing. In fact, I rolled over this morning, and I said, "Hey," the first thing out of her mouth was, "I lost my streak." And I'm like, what do you mean you lost your streak? And if you have the Bible app, it keeps a streak of every day that if you open your Bible app, it keeps a streak. And she was at, 400 and something?
423.
And she lost it. She apparently didn't open the Bible app yesterday. Even though we were studying this yesterday, we just didn't do it on the Bible app. And it was like, you know, you could see her kind of deflated a little bit. And I'm like, I'm on 12. So what I'm telling you is, you know, it's easy for me to stand up here and like, every day, let's do this. It's hard for me. I'm just being honest with you. It's hard for me. But what is easier for me is the fact that, A, I understand that if I miss a day, I just can't miss another day. And if I miss 2 days, I just can't miss three. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, all of us have tried, well, not all of us. Some of us have tried to ride a bike, and, you know, I wasn't one of the lucky ones to just get on it and take off like a natural. You know, there was a couple of times I had to fall off. And just because I fell off the bike, I had to tell myself to get back on again. And that's the same way with your daily walk, with your daily rhythm. You may not make it tomorrow. You may not get it Tuesday, but pick it back up. Don't let the enemy tell you, well, you haven't done it for 3 days, so just take 2 more days off. No. Don't do that. You start when you need to start, and you continue when you need to continue, and you stretch it out that way and let that work. But what we would want you to do is we would want you, at some point in time throughout your day, these three things we feel like are things that are going to build your faith. And that is speaking a God, speaking a promise, speaking God's promise over your situation, over your life, over your family, over your marriage, over your job, your coworkers, your boss. Some of you might have to speak a lot about over your boss. I'm just saying, just speak over those things, and then start to see your situation the way God sees your situation. Take off, you know, your carnal eyes and say, okay, God, how are you? What are you seeing in this situation that I'm not? How are you using this situation to not only strengthen my faith but encourage myself? But how are you using it to encourage somebody else? How are you using it to teach my kids how to handle stress? And then the last part is taking some moments to just be still and rest in God. You know, we always talk about the Sabbath and how important it is. And in ancient times, the Sabbath was an entire day. And they did nothing for that entire day. They in fact, it got a little out of hand with the stuff that they couldn't do on the Sabbath. But it was set aside for a purpose. But that Sabbath is a heart thing, right?
Yeah. And about 10 years ago, I was up on stage. I was singing with the worship team, and then God just started. There was a sweet presence in the room, and God was just speaking to us. And it was a season of time where I was asking God to help me. It seemed like I was having super high highs, but then super low lows. And it was not just like life events or family or our marriage or our kids. It was emotionally within myself. I was having these highs and lows, and I kept crying out to God, God, I want to have a steadiness with you. And he showed me this picture of the highs and the lows, and it looked like the sound waves. And then he showed me this beautiful gold line that is him. He said, and I always find it funny when God will ask a really simple question, but blow my mind. He says, my child, how are you spending your time? Because if you're spending it well, if you're spending it speaking and seeing and being still with me, then this line is where you'll exist. Now, will you have highs and lows? Yes. But how quickly you come back to a steadiness in me is based on how you're spending your time. I want to spend it well. I want to spend it well for myself. I want to spend it well for my kids. And I want to spend it well for everyone that God has put us over to bring alongside.
So we're gonna practice this for a second. Is that okay? Are you guys okay to practice this? And I just threw this at the last minute, so bear with me. In your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to start on verse 11. And if they can put it on the screen, that's great. If not, we'll just walk it together. But what we're going to do is this. We are going to practice as a church speaking this promise over us.
And he'll lead, and I will echo, and you can echo it with me.
So it's Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It's going to start right there, verse 11. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you.
Now let your voice be heard. For I know the plans you have for me.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Plans to prosper me and not to harm me.
Plans to give me a hope and a future.
Plans to give me a hope and a future.
You will call on me.
You will call on me.
You will pray to me.
You will pray to me.
And I will listen.
And I will listen.
You will seek me.
You will seek me.
And you will find me.
And you will find me.
And I will be found by you.
And I will be found
declares
by
the Lord.
You, declares the
Come
Lord.
Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's do this again. Okay, it says, for I know the plans I have for you.
For I know the plans I have for you.
Plans to prosper you.
Plans to prosper you.
Plans to not harm you.
Plans to not harm you.
To give you hope and a future.
To give you a hope and a future.
You will call on me.
You will call on me.
And pray to me.
You will pray to me.
And I will listen.
And I will listen.
You will seek me.
You will seek me.
And you will find me.
You will find me.
I will be found by you.
I will be found by you.
Declares the Lord.
declares the Lord.
Now see, that's what we did, is we spoke that out into existence, and we spoke that promise over ourselves. We spoke that promise over what God is doing in your life and in your family's life. So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to take a second, and if you're with your family unit, will you just kind of grab hands with each other? And I want you to figure out what that is that you, if you're by yourself this morning, you could totally speak these promises over you right now. But I want you to start to speak the promise that God gave you, the promise to prosper you, yes, the promise to not harm you. So speak that over yourselves. Father, I speak, I declare, and I decree your power over my family. I declare healing in my life. I declare freedom from those chains that bind me. I declare, God, I speak it out, and I am speaking in the name of the Father of how you, what you've done for me. God, how you have brought me out, how you are allowing me to speak to you, God, to cry out to you. God, I see it with my mind's eye. I see the way you're moving in my life. I want to see the way you see, God. I want to see how you see my situation. I want to see how you see what's going on in my life. And I declare that in Jesus' name.
God, let my voice raise up from the depths of who I am in you. God, let us see ourselves as the child of God that we are. Let us not, God, ever, ever stop and see ourselves the way only we can see. But God, I pray that every morning and every evening, in our going out and our coming in, we will have a voice and we will see God Almighty. We will see ourselves. We will speak with the voice that we know comes from you. That God, there's a depth that will now rise up in us, a rooted faith that will every day go with us in our daily rhythm. In Jesus' name.